Good to be in the house of the Lord. He is faithful to us, and I'm so glad that he's watched over all y'all. If you don't know what all y'all is, that means everybody. If you are past the Mason-Dixon line or whatever, all y'all, y'all. But do continue to pray for those that are still in, really not even at their house yet. I mean, people are still trying to get into neighborhoods and find out what has taken place with their life. And we just pray that people would turn to the Lord and that the church would rise up and speak up at this hour, and not with a condemning voice, but with a loving voice of hope and a strong hand of help. Amen. Just to give you a couple updates, my family is fine. I spoke with my dad today. He's well, amen. And he played cards during the whole storm, amen. And he was just hanging out. So heard some other reports. Ken's on his way home, Ken Roberts and his family. And the last report they had is just missing a few shingles. A little damage on the screen around the pool type of thing, and small, you know, limbs down, but they seem to be okay. So they'll be there this evening to get back home and try to get back into normality. And so I wanted to give you that report that so far all's well with that. Amen. I had a brother whose house was flooded, and it was right in the direct path of Irma. So if you'll pray that they will get back up on their feet. And Lord, take care of all that. Amen. Other than that, there's people suffering big time. There's tragedy still happening. There's loss of life as we speak still taking place. And we're going to do our part to have a helping hand. I was made contact with Feed the Hungry today. And so I have a church contact information that I'm going to look into. I don't know if they're where I want to be. Right now, we may need to go a little further south, but I'm going to check it out and see. And then the other thing about Cuba is I'm still waiting on the pastor to get a hold of us to find out what we can do to help them down there. Last report I received from him, there was no power, no water, and food was running low. And so those are not good things to take place, as you know, in St. Martin's and other places. If you're reading, you know, it's almost anarchy. In fact, it is anarchy in a lot of those places. And this is what happens when people lose hope. This is what happens when people are not prepared, you know, and they don't know God. The worst of humanity comes out. So just continue to pray. Just because the winds and rains are gone does not mean the tragedy is over by any means. And Ignited will do its part to help the best that we can. And the biggest part we're going to do is keep praying for them. This is not over. There's more to come. All right. Well, having said that, I'll just segue into tonight's teaching. Last time we got together, we didn't get to teach. We just interceded and prayed, and I'm so glad we did. And but last time we got together before Wednesday, the Wednesday prior to that, we were talking about the prayer of intercession, and we got to do that, didn't we, last week? Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've been actually experiencing more intercession in my life as we've been in this particular vein. I'm looking at the headlines every day, and I don't know how you can't pray. Just, you know, had a mass shooting in Dallas the other day. Had a shooting at a high school today. So everything's not fine. So we got a lot of work to do in praying. Amen. So let me give you some highlights from last time. We talked about prayer places you in people's lives and makes you a part of them. Prayer places you in people's lives and makes you a part of them. I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit told me that in the early 90s, and it stuck with me all these years. And it's true. Prayer places you in people's lives and makes you a part of them. And, you know, when you pray for people, it's hard to talk about them in a bad way. Because you've invested prayer. You've invested time. And the Holy Spirit's quick to remind you and say, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you want to negate that prayer? It's like, no, I really don't. Well, then be quiet. Say only good things, right? So prayer places you in people's lives. You want your heart to change? You got an ought with somebody? Start praying for them. watch and see things change, okay? Makes you part of it. So association with those in need of prayer gives you access to the answers for their lives. It helps you answer the prayers. It helps you be a part of that answer, okay? You become associated with them. Remember the Father searching for intercessors? Isaiah 59, remember that? It's looking for you. He's hiring. Heaven's hiring right now. If you need a job, they're hiring intercessors. The pay is out of this world. Some of y'all not even looking at me. I don't want to be hired. Well, many are called and few are chosen. Right? Amen. So he's looking for intercessors. And then remember how we talked about how he wondered. He could not believe. He was stunned, appalled, and horrified that he could not find anybody that would just stand in the gap. It's amazing. It's hard to find anybody to stand in the gap. We talked about Ezekiel 22:30. Remember the hedge, the fence, the wall. All right, you got to build a wall for your family. That's what we were doing on Wednesday before the Hurricane Irma. We were building a wall of protection. We have no idea this side of heaven who we helped protect from that storm. We won't know until we get into eternity. And the Father reveals everything to us and says, you know what? I blocked something. I helped somebody because you prayed. Okay, so key number one, remember we're going to go through three keys that I want to show you, which is not going to finish intercession, but I really don't feel that's going to happen. I think we've got a ways to go. But key number one was identification. Remember that? Identification. And again, that's something that we need to continue to do is to identify. We identify with the victims of these hurricanes, senseless tragedies as well. We identify when we pray at the prayer cross here at Ignited. We identify with the needs. Okay? We identify with the needs of the people. Isaiah 53:12. Remember Jesus, he was numbered with the transgressors. Isn't that right? He was counted. He said, you know what? I'm going to put myself with the sinner. I'm going to put myself with the transgressor. Aren't you glad he did? Amen. You wouldn't be here today. I'm so glad that he thought about me in the midst of my sin and all the craziness that I went through. Luke 23:34. Remember that? The Father forgave them. It talked about the cross. And that's the greatest example of intercession. Okay, and then finally I said we must join ourselves with the pain and suffering of others. Okay, that is absolutely a fact. The church is not to be separate on some high hill and as some type of museum. We are supposed to be a hospital. We're supposed to be a hospital. We're supposed to feel the pain of others and sufferings, and we do that through prayer. We feel the sufferings of the cross through intercession because we bear those pains the way the Lord took on those pains, and he wants his body to do that. That's why you're to carry your cross seasonally. No, I thought it was only during the holidays. No, daily. It's not seasonally. Some people go seasonally. No, it's daily. Okay, let's go into tonight's teaching, the prayer of intercession. I want you to write this down. Your prayers will flow through your heart and passions. Your prayers will flow through your heart and passions. Remember, your heart, your passions is a filter. So your prayers will flow through your heart and passions. And your prayers will also follow. You can put follow next to that. So your prayers will flow through your heart and passions. Let me say it this way. What moves you internally will drive you to prayer or action. What moves you internally. In other words, what is your heart? What is your passion? If your passion in your heart is rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and you're motivated with compassion, you're motivated to pray for others, you're motivated when you see those scenes on television or you read them on the internet, do you go into intercession? Does your heart draw you and drive you towards prayer? If you don't really care about it, then you don't pray. You don't do anything about it. You're not moved. You have no action. So what moves you internally will drive you to prayer or action. And write this down, prayer connection. Just that statement, prayer connection. We need to have a prayer connection with humanity. We need to have a prayer connection with our city. We need to weep and intercede when we hear of crimes being committed and the craziness that takes place in our nation. We need to be moved internally. So we have to have a prayer connection. The problem that we have in our nations in many aspects concerning the church and the world is that we don't have a connection with them. We don't have a connection, a proper connection that is heavenly. See, because if we really connected with the world and we really understood what was happening with the drug addict and with the prostitute and with the Satanists and all the craziness, we would be people of great prayer. We would be people of intercession. We'd be moved towards those needs. It would burden us instead of taking the high road and saying, you know, tisk, tisk on you. Come on, how many of y'all been in Pentecostal churches, different churches, you know, where it's just always, you know, dogging out the sinner and never bringing them to a place of salvation, never giving them an avenue of hope, never praying for the community? It's always, you know, well, I'm glad that ain't me. There's a lot of churches like that. I'm glad that ain't me. I'm glad we're not like that. Instead of stooping down, being counted with the transgressors and saying, you know, God have mercy on these souls. All right. So that we're not going to be that way. That's not, this church is, you know, we'll speak prophetically and we'll talk about what's coming down the road, but at the same time, we still have to be the extension of the hands of God, the extension of the body, extension of Jesus Christ. All right. So prayer connection, I want you to have that just as some type of, you know, something to remember that you need to be connected to your community through prayer. You know, how can I minister to this community if I don't pray for it? Prayer gives you access. Pray for people. Pray for people who despise you. Pray for people who come against you. Pray for all kinds of people around you, including your enemies. Is that right? And when you begin to pray, you'll have access and favor. I'm telling you, it's a powerful key. So let's talk about this. We're going to continue identifying and being associated with. I want to talk about Moses for a minute. We're going to go to a lot of places, and I'm going to land to the scripture I want to be for this particular topic of Moses. And then I got some other places to go. But go to Exodus chapter 2, and I just want to start out by looking at this law first mentioned, looking at Moses and the first writing about him. And then we'll go a little further, then we're going to come back to the Old Testament. Is that all right? We have Band-Aids if you get a finger cut, paper cut. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now, we know what he did next. He slew him. But verse 11, I want to start out because Moses made identification. Watch it again. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and he looked on their burdens. He became associated with their burdens, okay? Go to Acts chapter 7. I don't want to pull the trigger just yet. That's why I want to go a little further, give you several different accounts of it, and then teach from that, okay? He checked out their burdens. Let me know when you're in Acts chapter 7. Go to verse 23. I'm going to go ahead and read. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart. Everybody say it came. The word there in the Greek means to spring up, or it sprung up. It sprung up to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So it sprung up for him to go inspect or to perceive his brethren. Okay? And then verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to hang out there for just a minute, and then we'll go back to Exodus. And then I'll change gears on that. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Let me know when you get to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, all right, he was 40 years old, refused to be called one, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now watch this. Here's Moses. He's been in Pharaoh's house 40 years. He was the heir to the throne. He was next. He was being trained to be the king. He was trained to be the ruler because he was adopted into the family of the Pharaoh. Is that right? Here he is in all of his splendor. He had everything. He was the son of the inheritance. He was blessed. There was nothing that Moses couldn't have. Just think about a modern day person today who has the opportunity to take over the corporation of their father or mother or family member or whatever it may be, and they have access to Maseratis and Ferraris and gold and diamond and girls and everything they could possibly want. That was Moses' life, if you look at it from a modern view. His daddy, his adopted daddy, was what? The Pharaoh. He was the king, man. He had everything. There was none like the Pharaoh. There was none like Egypt. And so Moses, watch what it says. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had it all. Everything was available to him. Everything that he could possibly want, he could have had. But he made a decision. He made a decision to be identified with his brethren, with his family. Now, this is a very important principle because it brings us to intercession. Remember, intercession is to identify, to be associated with. And Moses stepped into that position of identifying with his bloodline from which he came from. And that's exactly what we need to do, is identify with the bloodline, to identify with humanity, to identify with those that need the Savior. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He saw something about redemption. He understood the redemptive plan. God showed it to him. And he said, I would rather follow this plan than the riches and the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he understood what was at stake. And there are many times that we, in intercession, have to put things aside in order to pray for other people. Come on now. That's what intercession is. It's sacrificing. It's saying, you know what? I don't care what other people think about me. I don't care about anything. I don't care about promotions. I'm going to pray for those who have need, and I am going to intercede, and I am going to be associated with them, and I am going to be identified with them. Believe me, there are many people who don't want to identify with the sinner. They don't want to smell the homeless. They don't want to smell the drug addict. They don't want to get around the prostitute. They don't want to get around the destitute. They don't want to get around people who are victims of life. And many in the church look down at people with their religious crooked nose. Come on. with the wart on the end of it and say, well, you know, if you hadn't been such a sinner. Well, they realize they're a sinner, and God realizes they're a sinner, but he sent a Savior. And all of us look that way. Now, we may not have done this sin and that sin, but we all come short of the glory of God. We're all born into sin. We are conceived in iniquity. Well, I tell you, church needs to hear that, because we forget where we come from. We forget what trash bags we were. Because, you know, we live in this highly high holy house of life, and we think, you know, well, I don't have nothing to do with those people or whatever. But intercession brings you to that place. Now, again, I'm not saying you got to go hang out with people, but you have to pray for them, and you have to understand that they need help. So watch this. Again, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a choice. Intercession is a choice. It's in your notes. I know it is. I preach it. Intercession is a choice. You have to choose to identify. Now, this is the people of God, but we have to identify with all people. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, the reward for him was much greater to follow Christ than it was to follow and become a ruler. So, again, intercession is a part of identifying, and identifying is a part of intercession. Now, I like this. I'm just going to give this as a little side bit. But this was called a royal refusal, a royal refusal. There are about three in the Bible. You may find another one somewhere else. But royal refusal. Number one, we had Moses. He refused to be a pharaoh. He refused to be a king. And Daniel did what? Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. That's a royal refusal, isn't it? Hallelujah. And then David, he refused Saul's armor. So those are little side notes for you. Moses, David, and Daniel. They were royal refusals. They said, you know what? We're going to go on with what we know God told us to do, so we're not worried about it. Okay, so intercession and identifying is a choice. And that choice, watch this, leads to a lifestyle. Once you start to choose to intercede, something takes place in your life and it becomes a lifestyle. You don't need anybody to tell you to pray. You don't have to be challenged by your pastor. You don't have, it's just right there. It's here in your spirit, man. As soon as you see a need, boom, you start praying. As soon as you read something terrible, boom, you start praying. Okay? So intercession is a choice. Again, I'm not going to get into the whole theological thing of intercession just yet and prayer. That'll be later on. But, and the reason I'm not doing that is I don't want the foundation to be on theology. I want it to be on practicality. I want it to be on scripture. I want it to be on flexibility, because many times people teach from a theological point of view and they box it in and say, this is what it is. And anytime you box God in, you box God out from what he wants to do. So never box God in, because then he can't invade like he wants to. He can't come in and access like he wants to. So I always be careful about that, and I just try to come at a different foundation. But I will get to that that structure part later. So intercession and identifying is a choice, and we have to choose to do that, and then it becomes a lifestyle. All right, go to Exodus chapter 32. We'll go back again, and then I'm going to give you some other insights. So Exodus chapter 32. Moses stood before Pharaoh because Moses stood before God. Try that again. Moses stood before Pharaoh because Moses stood before God. If we stand before God, he'll put us in front of great people. He'll put us in front of people. And it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It can also just be in prayer. We don't realize how powerful prayer is and intercession is. Prayer will get you into the White House. Prayer will get you into the Parliament of the UK. prayer will get you into Ali Khomeini, whatever, in some foreign land, you know, in Iran or wherever. Prayer will get you there. You don't have to leave. You don't have to pay for a ticket. You just pray to begin to intercede. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. You can do it. You can be interceding. And you can tell that person, sit down in that chair right there. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to believe God for your soul. That's what we're doing here when we're praying on this cross. We're interceding. We're stepping in to that dominion and to that realm of the supernatural. Is that okay? So we're using Moses as our example. So Exodus chapter 32, the backdrop is the golden calf. Moses, man, he's up there with the Lord. Here's Pastor Moses. Poor Pastor Moses. That guy went through so much, didn't he? He's going through all this stuff. He's up there with the Father. And down below, they're building a golden calf. Pastor's gone, and so we're going to worship a calf. Now watch this. Go to verse 10. No, go to verse 9. I want to read the whole thing, man. But just go to verse 9. Read this when you have time. But, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I think God was bent. I think he was a little upset. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Let me just use my vernacular. I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to set you up, bub. He said, just get out of my way, Moses. Now, what was Moses doing? Moses was interceding. He was standing in the gap, wasn't he? Or he wouldn't have told him, get out of my way. Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to destroy them, and guess what? I'm going to promote you. Now, for many in the body of Christ, they'd have said, go ahead, burn them up, fry them up. Medium well, Lord. I'm going to sit right here as you burn them all up. Get that one guy over there. I've been waiting for that one a long time, Jesus. In fact, you need me to point him out. He's sitting over there. How many of y'all know that's true? You know it's true. Somebody in the church, me? You're going to start all over with me? You know it's true. But watch this. Verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God. So here's Moses now. He's making intercession. Now, were these people wrong? Yes, they were wrong. Did they deserve to be dealt with because of their sin? Yes. You shall have no other God but me. You're not going to make any graven images. You're not going to worship anything but me. They were in sin and they were wrong. But Moses made a commitment back in Exodus chapter 2 to be associated with them and to be identified with them. And he gave up all his riches and he gave up being on the throne in order to be associated with them. And his job of intercession did not end when they were in trouble. In fact, it began. Do you see that? And that's the thing. When we become associated with our community, we become associated with people, no matter what they do, we must stand and intercede and believe God for them. We will always do that. No matter how wicked and how worthy the nation becomes for further judgment, we will always stand and believe and intercede and say, God, have mercy in the midst of your judgment. You know, people are already saying stuff about, you know, this place deserved it because of the specific sin and all that. I got all that. I understand that. I understand Sodom and Gomorrah, and I understand specific judgments, and they're severe according to sin and the balances, and I got all that. But at the same time, I'm not the judge. God is the judge. I'm not the one that executes it. What I'm supposed to pray is for mercy. You do what you want to do, God. Their hairs are numbered. You know everything about them. But I just pray while you do it, be merciful. And you know what? It's not that he needs that because he's an ogre. He needs that because that's what he wants to do. But he needs an agent on the earth. Boy, I can go real deep into this thing. But God cannot do anything without having human agency involved, just like Satan doesn't have the right to do it unless he has a vessel. God made the law. He made it that way. He made the order of combat, if you will, in such a matter. The earth has been given to man. Is anybody here with me? Even though Satan has done what he did and Adam created, went into high treason and lost these things, God still gave it back to us through Jesus Christ and the blood and the cross and the resurrection. Amen. And because of that, I am an agent of God. I am an agent of the kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Well, who makes the kingdom come? His people. Woo. His people make it happen. We pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen. It's good preaching for a Wednesday night, but it's true. And if we would understand that we become agents of change, not through philosophies and doctrines of men and doctrines of devils and doctrines of denominations, we do it through the power of the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. We activate the Word of God. Look, God's going to do what he's going to do that's written in this Word. You can't change it. You can pray till your lips are blue and your tongue falls out. You won't change the Word. But what you do is you pray the will of God on the earth. And that's what an intercessor does. Okay. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Do you think God knew the answer? Of course he did. But he needed Moses to ask the question so that he could get the answer out. Wherefore, verse 12, should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out? In other words, Moses is saying, God, people are going to think that you brought them out to kill them. Isn't that what it's saying? You're reading the same Bible I'm reading? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Well, sounds like Moses is preaching to God. It sounds like God had decaf that morning. Slept on the wrong side of the bed, which we know he don't do either. And that Moses was the great savior trying to correct God and preach to God. And most people will take it that way, but that's not the way God is, and that's not the way this thing works. He needed somebody to be that change agent. He needed the intercessor there. He needed the person to stand in the gap for the behalf of the people, because in essence, he did not want to do it, but he could have. He can do anything he wants to do. We only have the Bible now. You understand that? We only have the Bible now, so we see the whole thing now. We have history in our hands, but God could have changed anything, and the Bible could have been different in this hour. But he chose to do what he was going to do. So watch this. Verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you remember Israel? What is he telling God right now? Anytime you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, you always remember covenant. Covenant. Always. He's not naming a band or my three sons or whatever. He is naming covenant. So Moses is speaking to God about covenant. Where do you think Moses is getting these words from? Divinely inspired. Because Moses was a Hebrew by birth. Is that right? And Moses had experienced God, the burning bush. And he spent time with him. But you're hearing covenant come out of his mouth. That's what an intercessor does. An intercessor does not pray their will. We don't go before God and say, God, I've decided you're just going to have to hold off judgment and save America. When God says, I've pronounced it. So you have to go along with what God says and say, Father, your will be done. Have mercy in the midst of judgment. You are a righteous God. Enough is enough of the blood that's being shed, the innocent blood. Father, you are justified in what you want to do and however you want to do it. Your word declares it. There's coming a day when the Son of Man will appear. And all these things will be wrapped up. Father, if this is the hour, your will be done. But see, people try to pray against God, and it's ridiculous in nature because, you know, people, I heard people say, well, I'm praying for world peace. Well, you're going to be praying for a while until the Prince of Peace comes. Well, that's just a noble ideal. No holding hands and singing Kumbaya is pretty noble, but it isn't going to change anything. Singing We Are the World, did it change any? Those things don't change anything. What changes is interceding according to the will and the word of God. And the word and the will of God will always be covenant. All right? If man rejects covenant, then judgment comes. I keep going back to this. The Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death for individuals and for nations. All right, so check this out. I can't wait to Sunday, man. I think we're going to have a blast Sunday. So remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thy servants to whom thou swearest. It's covenant. God, you made a covenant by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Now the seed's talking about who? Jesus. He's talking covenant. He's gone even further. Moses has gone further than just the covenant to have Israel in existence, because you couldn't have Jesus without Israel. Israel was the birth canal, if you will. Israel was the vehicle to get the Messiah to the earth. So if he would have destroyed all of them, he would have destroyed the seed and the opportunity for the seed to be born. Because he didn't promise it through Moses, he promised it through Abraham. Do you see that? It's covenant. And so he interceded on that basis of covenant. And he reminded God, but again, God didn't need it. God didn't have memory loss. He needed it to be reiterated on the earth. You see that with me? And I'll multiply your seed. So verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto the people. Now, repenting is not like he repented because he sinned or anything like that. It kind of means he was sorry for it. He was like, okay, I got your point. But he always had the point. But he needed intercessor. Okay? That's why when we look at the cross and we look at Christ, we had to have him. We had to have our Savior. We had to have him go to the cross to be born again. Okay? Because that was the promise of God. So, now you can read the rest. Now, he goes down there and lays the iron down. I mean, Moses, he ain't too happy. Pastor Moses, when he gets back to the camp, and you can read that. But he interceded. He made intercession according to the will of God. He made identification. All right? How do you like that? Go back to Hebrews 11 one more time. And then I'm going to change gears for the next hour or so. You didn't even flinch. Not one of you flinched. You guys are awesome, man. Might have been inside. Do what? Verse 27. Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he wasn't worried. He continued his path on serving the Lord, and he interceded, and he walked according to faith. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians. I think I want to get all this in. Can you give me about the five after, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Some of y'all haven't had power for a couple of days, so y'all enjoy the lights and be like a house plant wanting to grow, you know. Light. 1 Corinthians, verse 9. I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. You need to read all of verse 9 because it talks about the necessity of self-denial and all those great things. I'm going to go to verse 20. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, or as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Okay? I wanted to start out with Paul, the Apostle Paul, and give that foundation scriptures, because intercession, just like Paul is using here for evangelism, intercession is under that same understanding that I'm to become all things to all men. In other words, when I begin to pray, I pray no matter who they are. I'm saying the same thing I said in the beginning, but I'm using Paul as an example that I'm to pray according to the needs of my community. Listen, it's not right. It's not scriptural. It's nothing of righteousness if we pray just for black folk, or we pray for just white folk, or we just pray for rich folk, or we only pray for this certain part of society. How many of y'all know people do that? They pray according to their attractions. They pray according to, watch this now, they pray according to investability. Is there something I can invest in them to get a return out of? True intercession does not look at the investment for a return. True intercession says, I invest because that's what grace does. I invest because it was invested in me. Thank God people prayed me into the kingdom, because I would have been in hell right now. There's no doubt in my mind. Thank God somebody didn't say, well, you know, Benjamin Faircloth, that alcoholic drug head and womanizer and all that he was, I'll tell you right now, he's going to split hell wide open. And they probably said that. But somebody said, Father, have mercy on him. Father, have mercy on that young man. Father, I pray for him that one day he'd pick up a microphone in one hand and a Bible in another and preach to the nations of the world. You see, they made an investment when they couldn't see the return. Aren't you glad? I mean, you think about who the next great preacher is out there that's a wino right now, who's putting a needle in their arm. Not every great man and woman of God was born in the church. Most of them were born in the gutter. I mean, lost. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians. I don't think you can get too much lower than that in the church. Well, next week we're going to have a Christian killer come preach to us. Great. I won't be here. Amen. You remember, they gave Paul a hard time when he came out of the desert. Out of desert Arabia, he came out full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know what? I didn't get my information from you guys. I got it from Jesus myself. All right. So he's the intercessor. So I love this because it starts us out. Now go to Romans chapter 9. I'm going to get out of your way. Romans chapter 9. And I may revisit some of these examples that I'm using tonight, but I just need for you to see that Paul became all things to all men, that by all means he might win some. And so when we pray as an intercessor, we cannot pick and choose. We can't drive by. Let me use this as an example, because I know preachers do that, and I know there's preachers listening to me tonight. There's preachers who just pray for doctors to come in their church. They do. They pray for big bucks. Brother, sister, big bucks. They pray for the best to come in the house of God and all these things. The real way to pray is to pray whosoever. Father, you know who belongs here. Because one person can catch a revelation on sowing and reaping and become a multimillionaire without having any inheritance or any link to anything. Or just be faithful what they're doing and give their tithe and the kingdom grows. We're so shallow in our minds in the church. We got to have this in the house. I love what Tommy Barnett said one time. I met Tommy Barnett. He's a very gracious man. I think, Terry, you met Tommy. Some of y'all, you met Cindy met Tommy Barnett. Very gracious man, spends time with almost anybody. He hung out with me for a little bit. But he said everything that you need is in the house. Everything that you need is in the house, talking about the house of God. And that's a very powerful principle, because that means even if you don't see it tangibly, it's on its way, because God provides for the house. Very powerful truth. Okay, Romans chapter 9. And by the way, me and Tommy Barnett are not friends. I don't want that to be let out. Oh, he's friends with Tommy Barnett. Maybe Tommy Barnett's going to come to this church. No, I just met him one time at a conference. He's just a really nice man. Okay, Romans chapter 9. Verse 3. Watch this. For I could wish. In other words, it's really translated, if I could wish it. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, here's what it means. The word accursed means to be separated. It literally would translate that if I could wish it, if it could be possible, I would go to hell for them. I just lost about 90% of the church. Paul said, if I could wish it. He knew he couldn't. But that's how sincere Paul was of an intercessor. He's saying, man, if I could be accursed, which means separated, if I could be separated from Christ, from my family, for the body of Christ, for the Jews, really, so that they can be born again, I would have it done. Because that's how much I'm interceding. That's how much I care for their souls. Now, I don't know about you. That's deep. That's pretty heavy Chevy right there. That's a pretty heavy prayer. That's a pretty heavy statement that Paul felt for Israel. What do you think? For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. He goes on and talks about the people of Israel and how awesome they are and how privileged they were to be the vehicle, going all the way back to Moses and reminding God of covenant. And Paul's like, man, you know, if it could be possible, I would have my own self separated from Christ so that they can be brought into the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe we have to come to a point of intercession that we say, God, whatever you have to do, save them. Whatever you need to do, I don't believe we speak the way Paul spoke, because Paul already did it. But we look at the depth of what Paul was going to do and was willing to do. And I think that's where we need to get, to a place of desperation in our intercession, to where we say, God, save them. Father, wake this nation up. Wake these people up. Wake them up. Wake them up, God. Have mercy in the midst of judgment. God, the people that are in the shelters right now, Father, send somebody in there. Come on, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't sit back and say, well, you know, because of this and that, they're there. No, we could all be there. This thing could be different. This building didn't have to be here come morning light. Do you understand? Does anybody see that? I mean, and we have to come to that place. I know you understand, and I'm speaking to everybody that's listening tonight, and I know they'll be listening all around the world. But the point is, we have to come to that place of intercession where we just cry out and say, God, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do in me to get me to pray like that. Come on, look at Paul. He said, man, I'm willing to separate my relationship with Christ if it were possible. And we knew he knew better because he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, gave us church doctrine and understanding grace and those things. But that's how adamant he was and how passionate he was about them getting saved. The church is so far from that reality because we want to get our own. We want to be pumped up. We want to be first. We want to be promoted. We want to be on TV. We want all these things. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a wave of desperate intercession to the body of Christ to where we cry out to God for the sin-soaked nation and we plead with him. And I'm not talking about churning it around to make it a new day and all that stuff. I'm just talking about people's souls weighing in the balance. That's where we are. People are headed to the abyss. Watch this. The depth of identification. I want you to write down the depth of identification. That was for Romans 9:3. The depth of identification will be the depth of your intercession. How deep are you willing to identify? There was a day in America when you called for a prayer meeting or what have you, and the spirit of intercession would hit the place that the altars would be full of weeping and groaning and tremendous travail. We don't do that anymore. It's very foreign to the church. So we must identify with the sin of the world in order to properly intercede for them. We must identify with the sin of the world in order to properly intercede for them. If I'm allowed to release some statistics Sunday, it'll curl your toes. That is what must be what we must be doing with these prophecies. I wrote this down in my notes. That is what we must be doing with these prophecies. These things that are coming out of Ignited, are coming out of great ministries, different people all over the world. We should take those prophecies and begin to intercede. Not sit back and say, yeah, I told you. All right? Identify the problem and intercede for the answer. Identify the problem and intercede for the answer. How God responds to it, that's up to him. That's his sovereignty. You know, we pray over the nations of the world. We pray over North Korea. We pray over this craziness, but at the end of the day, the sovereignty of God will take control. The prophetic scriptures will be revealed, and they will be answered accordingly. But that's not my job or your job. Our job is to intercede for those in harm's way. Heavenly Father, I delivered your teaching tonight. I pray that it was a blessing to those that are listening tonight. I love everybody here in Ignited Church, those that couldn't be here tonight for whatever reasons, and those, Father God, listening on media platforms. We love everybody, and we just intercede tonight, Father. We pray for the needs of the nations of the world, whatever they may be. We identify with the sinner, Father God. We identify with those, Father God, that are deep, so deep in sin. We identify with those that are losing grandparents and family members in these nursing homes in Florida needlessly. But we pray. We pray for those that I was told today, a family and over seven people, Father, for just using a generator improperly. Lord, these are things that can be avoided. But I pray, I intercede tonight for the souls of humanity. I pray, Father God, I pray this nation would recognize and realize the hour that we're living in. Those that are confused by the Hananiah prophecies and confused by what's taking place in the churches of America, I pray, Lord, let there come an understanding that we need to get on the same page in the church. We need to get in the same understanding. And I ask, Father, that you'd help us to do that. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. And we bless your mighty name. And everybody say amen and amen. Well, I love you. I'll see you Sunday morning. Amen.